What's going on, everybody? It's time for another episode of To Be Continued with Christella Alonzo. And as always, I am Christella Alonzo. I was Christella last week. I'm Christella this week. I might be Christella next week. How's everybody doing? It's Wednesday. I'm recording this on Tuesday, but you're probably listening to it on Wednesday. I hope everybody's having a good week. Like I say, I hope everybody's doing the best they can. Really quick, because this is actually a special edition, I guess you could say, of my podcast. I just wanted to check in and make sure everybody was doing good. And really just kind of briefly talk about what's happening right now, the state of the country and the world, really. I don't know about you guys, but man, I have been blown away with the protests, not even just the protests in the country, but just in other countries, too. The Black Lives Matter protests, they were really, it's weird, you know, the entire idea of the movement is to really acknowledge people's existence, you know, the Black community's existence, to be seen as human. And It's insane that we're actually trying to fight for this recognition, but at the same time, it's so hopeful, I think, when I see so many people show up to support and kind of say, you know, it's time to change. You know, it's a lot of action. There's been a lot of movement between cops, protesters, you know, who's involved, looting, blah, blah. But aside from it all, it's just really nice to have that glimpse of some possible hope, because let's face it, 2020 has been a do-over needed really, really bad. I say that once this year is over, unless something amazing happens, I say we go from 2019, 2021, we call 2020 a wash. It never existed. It's like we killed the body, we hid the body in that room, we locked the door, we're never going to mention the body anymore. It's like, I know what you did last summer, you know what I mean? But no one is going to talk about what we did. So this week, like I said, it's a special edition of To Be Continued with Christella Alonzo, because I am actually not doing the podcast by myself this week. I am actually bringing a guest with me here this week. It's someone that if you follow me or have followed me for years, you definitely know him. You know, I'm going to introduce him just really quick by doing the classic thing that I do on Instagram with him, which is, Steve, tell everybody what we're doing.
We're doing your podcast, To Be Continued.
So, everybody, this is Steve Hallis. If you've seen me on the road, you've seen that he opens up for me. He's my opening act, and he's also, I'm going to say one of my best friends, but you know, I'm going to say my best friend. I don't know. I don't want to say one of my best friends. I mean, I've known you forever.
Well, you don't want to eliminate anybody else that's listening who you... You know,
but are my best friends listening?
There's different kinds. I don't know. Yeah, right. If they're best friends, they better be listening. There's different kinds of best friends, right? We use that term.
Yes.
To mean different relationships. I have several best friends, and they're also like, I have best friends who are like brothers. I have best friends who are just like really, really close. But it's a different category. Best is just it's a category.
To me, actually, that's a solid point, because anytime that anything is connected with the word best or favorite, I hate it. You know, like when people ask you, what's your favorite movie?
Right.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I have a movie that I say is my favorite movie, absolutely.
What is it?
Harold and Maude.
Oh, that's right. You do like Harold and Maude.
But I don't watch it that much. I used to watch it a lot. It's more about what it represents and like
sure. A
time in my life when I got into it. But I don't need to see it. I don't watch it anymore. But like, you know, if About a Boy is on, because I love Hugh Grant.
You guys, Steve loves Hugh Grant.
I love Hugh Grant. I'll watch any Hugh Grant movie. It's my guilty pleasure. And not even guilty. He's a great actor. I don't know what my thing is. I really like Hugh Grant. And I'm not gay either.
Steve loves Hugh Grant so much, his middle name is Notting Hill. Steve Notting Hill Hallis.
I'll watch any movie with Hugh Grant.
I know. He really does.
He's charming. And witty and smart and a great actor. So
he is that.
But you know, I'll always watch one of his movies. But I don't seek out my favorite movie to watch it. No, but that's
interesting.
Most people don't watch, because I know what your favorite movie is, and you probably haven't watched it in a long time.
What's my favorite movie?
Your favorite movie is Muppets Take Manhattan.
You know, I always say that that's one of them.
Catch That Bird. Catch that, is that the movie?
Follow that bird. You know, and by the way, Follow That Bird is Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird. So both of my top movies are like Jim Henson Puppet right. related.
And yeah, that's appropriate.
Yeah, it pretty much sums me up.
Am I right on either of those? Am I close?
Muppets Take Manhattan is a top movie for me, but I don't have a favorite.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's like what you were saying about best friends. Right. They each kind of lend themselves for different purposes, different definitions, depending on the right. situation.
Our relationship is it's unique, and we're the way I describe it, because as we'll just get right into this, the way I describe it when people ask is like we're more like family. I don't know what the relationship is.
That's
but,
true.
But. We're like family. We're not like boyfriend and girlfriend. We don't live together, but like we've known each other and have that level of trust, that inner circle kind of thing where like,
yes,
it's like family.
I mean, our families know each other.
Our families know each other. Your brothers are like my brothers.
Yes.
When I see your brothers, it's like,
yes,
your family's very guarded and your family let,
we are very guarded.
Very guarded. Your family, I'm allowed in that cocoon of the family.
You guys, we are Latino family, like, you know, we are like the people. It's like a reality show where Steve just has to do like a talent show and wow us, you know. It's yeah. like, in order for you to be accepted into my family, it's like, okay, everybody, the challenge is you have to design a dress in an hour using paper towels, you know.
But you're, and so it's very, it's been so many years, and it's about trust, and I mean that's really what it comes down to. It's who you're, the closest people to you are the people you trust the most.
Yes.
The people that if they had your PIN code to your ATM card, you wouldn't be worried.
Yes.
Which you and I think do have each other's PIN codes.
I don't have yours code. Actually. That's a nice reminder.
Well, you know, if I gave you, you would know the number.
Yeah, no.
If I
yeah.
reminded you, because you do know it. But anyway, it's that level, whatever that is, you know.
So let me tell you guys. So why did I invite Steve to this podcast? That's a good question.
I'm
wondering it too now, actually. I invited Steve to my podcast. It was actually kind of his idea. I think he wanted airtime. But basically, you know, he actually...
Just trying to help. I'm just offering help. That's all.
I know. If you think I need help and you're like... You need help, girl, so much that you have to show up to... I have to show up to your podcast and, like, just sit next to you and make sure you do it right. So, basically... Okay, Steve, so I'll ask you, why do you think you're here? Like, what do you think your purpose is today?
What do I think my purpose is? I mean, I know what my purpose is.
Oh, Steve, come on now.
What?
I'm asking... Yeah, well, that's kind of what I meant. It's not like I really wanted you to...
Oh. Ask me again.
I don't even remember how I asked it right now.
Ask me what my purpose is here today.
Hey, Steve. Tell everybody what your purpose is today.
The purpose here is today is to answer questions about Christella that were submitted by your fans and followers. So we solicited, we put on Instagram a little video asking for questions that people might have of me that pertain to you.
Right, and why did you want to do this? Because it was really your idea.
Well, because I think, well, you know why? Because a lot of people they don't know who I am sometimes or what my role is, but they know I'm with you a lot, and
right.
we hang out a lot, and we do a lot of things, and I get people asking me questions sometimes about you, and so I don't know. I thought you might be. Some of your fans and listeners might enjoy hearing. It might be fun for them to hear some answers to questions that they might not normally get. And you don't solicit questions either. So
I never do.
So yeah, you don't do that. You never do that. So,
I don't.
Yeah, it's not your thing. So I thought, I don't know, we might reveal or be interesting for some people to hear some answers to some stuff they don't normally get to hear.
So here's the thing, you guys, is that I'm really, I don't know, would you say that I'm reclusive?
Yes, I would say you are... I mean, Christella is very reclusive. Yeah, she's.
I am.
Yeah, there's just a very small handful of people that she really will go out for in the world.
Yeah, how, you know, describe a little bit, you know, just like, I understand, you know, Steve and I talk about this all the time. It's confusing to me what people think I'm like or what my life is like or anything, which is, I think, one of the reasons he wanted to do this too, because he has a perspective of me that others don't, And he probably knows how to say things that I wouldn't say or I wouldn't think is important to say.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, you wouldn't want to answer certain things. Not that you are embarrassed or don't want to, but it's just you wouldn't. It's not in you to go solicit questions or to talk about yourself in a certain way. That's not your thing.
You know, this is the weird thing, everybody. People don't understand. I know it sounds weird, but I don't like talking about myself. I'm very, how can I say this? I have a lot of limits when I get asked questions. You know what it is? Actually, I know what it is. I feel like I judge questions and think, well, nobody wants to know that. Like, that's not important.
That's true. Yeah, you don't exactly. You wouldn't think that something that might actually be really interesting wouldn't be interesting at all. You don't think like that.
I never do, no.
You don't go around thinking everybody really needs to know all the little minute details I'm thinking about. You don't. You no. would never think that. And yeah, so that's why you don't seek that out. And a lot of podcasts and a lot of people we know, that's kind of...
That's all they do.
That's all they do is talk about a bunch of details, so...
So, really quick before we go into the questions and everything, so how long have we known each other?
Since 2004, so 16 years.
Oh man, we just had our quinceañera.
Yep.
That is crazy.
Yep, sweet 16.
So Steve and I met in Dallas, Texas. We were both doing stand-up. We were both coming up with a lot of the people that we still talk to.
Yeah, a lot of our friends in stand-up.
It's so crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
like we're still doing it.
Yeah, I know, because you never think that far in the future, especially when you're like going after your dreams and all that.
It's
right?
Weird because there's a big group of us that started out in Dallas, Texas, that now lives in Los Angeles, and we've all done really well. I mean, we're all doing.
By well, we mean doing a decent job of keeping the bills paid.
Yeah, that's my
success.
Version of well. Yeah,
keeping
exactly.
the bills paid, like.
So here's a fun fact, right? So, Steve and I have known each other for 16 years. I've said this before, and actually this is one of the reasons too that I brought him to the podcast today, is that, I feel like I've said it enough and I haven't said it enough at the same time. So I'm going to say, if anybody watched my TV show, my short-lived sitcom, named Cristela, after me, appropriate, you will see that there was a character named Josh. And the mom character in the show used to call him Josh from work. And everybody used to ask me if that was based on a real person. And it was. And that real person is...
me.
So Steve is actually Josh from my TV show. Steve and I dated for a long time. It felt like a lot longer. No?
It felt like the amount of years that it was years.
No, so we actually we met as open micers in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
And when I moved out here to LA to pursue comedy, we did long distance for what, like a year and a half?
About a year and a half. Yeah.
And then he moved out, and we made it last the long distance. We did it for a year and a half, and we were together for years. And you know, we ended up breaking up. 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, it was around the time. It was around 2014. It was around when the show was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was this, and you know, the thing is that we broke up, and I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say that it's this moment where we realize that we actually really like each other, but you know, we make better friends.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. What I always tell people, and I don't know. Maybe this is some advice for some people. Because it's different and it's weird, and we were in a situation where things might have gone differently if life was different, but we were living together in an apartment, and then as the show was going on, Cristela was having to be at the studio very early and putting in like 16-hour days, and it was the drive was a little, you know, the drive was a bitch, and you were like, and she and I weren't getting along because relationship was like, you know, in one of those weird stages. So she got an apartment right by the studio so she could have easy, so it would be easy for her to get to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, and I'll recommend this to a lot of people, that I feel like, I mean, it took time, but I feel like when we stopped living together, that was the road to us,
yes,
really having a much better relationship. We started to get along better and figure out our roles in each other's lives, and ultimately led to, you know, where we are now, where we're very good friends. And I can't remember the last time we like even argued about really anything serious or anything. It's been years.
It's been a long time.
And so here's my advice out there. I mean, really, it's weird. So it's like I always tell people, like, I don't know, man. If I even ever got married again, I would be like, have separate bedrooms, or maybe have separate houses next to each other, or maybe even separately, even live like a little ways away from each other. I mean, I'm serious. I don't know, man. It's
no, I think that works for us.
It works for us.
It worked for us in our friendship. Like, yeah. You make it seem like that's a,
but no,
key
I'm,
to successful
but,
marriage.
Yeah, no, let me make, yeah, we're not married. We're not in any kind of relationship like that. So, anymore. But there is, you know, for us, because we're both, the other thing is that we're both really independent people.
Yes.
And kind of unconventional in our.
This is true. This is, yeah. Know, this is why we got along when we met.
Yeah. Neither of us, exactly. We're not always sitting around talking about, oh, I want to be married right now and have kids.
Hello.
And all that stuff. So,
by the way, let me just tell you, he actually said something that I need to go into. We never talked about having kids. So here's the deal, right? So I've known this guy forever. When we were together, he knew I couldn't stand to hear any stories about being pregnant or anything. Like, here's the thing. I'm afraid of needles, right? So I'm afraid of needles. I got my ears pierced when I was 18. Like, they make me, like, they freak me out, right? So anything medical, anything, I practically faint, right? I just practically pass out. So Steve, when we were together, Steve, I've noticed sometimes when I would annoy him or when I was pretending to be mad at him, he would start telling me what happens to a woman's body when she starts getting pregnant. Do you remember that?
I don't ever remember using it as a weapon. Like,
yes, you did.
No, not.
Yes, you did.
I remember like messing with you a little bit. Like,
messing in, like, in a, you mess.
Like, we'd be at the mall and I'd see a pregnant woman, but I knew Cristela didn't. It wasn't in her field of view. I would go and I'd point. I go, hey, look at that lady, and she'd turn around and go, oh, like you, like Cristela can't even see a big belly freaks her out. Like, I think she feels. The pain of that woman when she sees it.
It's medical procedures,
anything medical,
like,
yeah.
Really just freaks me out.
That's true. Like, because I sometimes, it's fun to watch those like medical shows where they show like, we're going to show how a kidney gets a kidney transplant and she can't see that kind of thing at all. But I'll say, like, on needles, like, it's amazing how ever since you became diabetic, you are like, needles. Like, I have no problem with needles. Like, I'll sit there and watch them take my blood. I watch the needle go into my arm. I think it's cool. And you're like you went from, I remember the one time I was with you at the doctor and they had to draw blood and you were just sobbing, crying. Do you remember that? You were just crying.
Was it the time that
the little clinic up in the valley we were at? And
Oh, I don't remember
it
that.
It was years ago. Anyway.
A time when I was at a clinic, everybody, and they had to give me a shot and on my butt. And I was like leaning over so that they could give me the shot in my butt. And right as the nurse, poor nurse, she like put the alcoholic, yeah. The wipe, you know? And I ran away from her with my pants down, like by my knees. And I was like, no.
She's chasing you with a...
And I was in my 30s.
Right.
You know?
So. She's like, I just don't want you to get tetanus, lady. Come on. Let me do this.
Like, no. So I'm, but.
You become a rock star with Neil. Like, you, they do
kind
nothing.
Of.
Well, but you, like, you can prick your finger like it's nothing.
Well,
like,
that's, yeah. I mean, I can prick my finger now to test my blood. But when they draw blood for me.
That still freaks you out.
I still have to look or, like.
Yeah.
I'm like a little kid. Like, yeah. They have to turn me
but
the
you
other
really,
way.
But
and they,
you know, it doesn't like really hurt that. It's like a pinch. It doesn't really hurt.
I know. Oh my God, I forgot.
Let's
I have
move
to
on.
I have
let's
a checkup
on.
Tomorrow. I just
oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh, let's move on.
All right. So everybody, so yeah, we dated and now we're friends. And one of the things that actually evolved in our whole relationship, which I thought was very important, was that Steve and I moved to LA and we had really bad years just economically. You know, there was a moment where I wanted to move back to Texas, you know, and Steve got laid off from his job, you know, because of the recession or something around that time.
The housing class in 2008, yeah.
Yeah.
I got laid off and, you know.
So it was this thing where he and I were living together in this apartment, barely scraping by. We just had the typical, we're going to go make it in the big city kind of problems. And when we stopped dating, it was very important, I think, for both of us to stay involved in the other person's life because we had been in each other's life on the journey, you know? So it was this thing where this is just how the journey was going to continue, you know? I wanted both of us to kind of go on this trip that both of us really worked hard for, you know?
Well, also the thing is, so, so getting back to what we said up front is like this, we know that we have this, like we're like family, right? This trust kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, I think the thing we've realized as things started to get better and as things took off in this business, you need some people you can rely on. You got to have,
yes.
You got to have people close to you.
Yes.
That have your back and who you can trust and you can go, here's my PIN number. I need you to know this in case I need you to get money or whatever, right. Or, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, that's, I mean, you have agents and all that kind of stuff, and that's a different level of trust, but you always need a couple of people that you can call anytime and be like, hey, I got to go to this thing tonight. I need you to go with me to run interference on some other stuff and or whatever, you know. You know who's going to be there, and I need you to talk to that person because I don't want to talk to that person. You don't cuss on your.
I don't.
So I'm being very careful.
I don't cuss on it.
There's times I really want to cuss. And I'm
no, I don't cuss on it.
No, I know you don't. So
yeah.
I'm not. So anyway, so I think that's important. You know, it's that like entourage thing.
Well, you know, so Steve and I actually talk about how when people get these opportunities, when they're lucky enough, you know, to have these opportunities happen, sometimes they surround themselves with yes men, you know, and the yes men are the people that really, they don't look out for your best interest most of the time. They say yes because they want to keep you happy.
Yes, because you're their source of income. So it's like just say yes. So you know. But that's a tricky thing when people say you surround yourself with people that can't give you honest feedback and honest advice and tell you I don't like that. Here's what I think. That doesn't mean you go, you know, go totally crazy with it, but you got to find a way to communicate to help people in a constructive way if you don't agree with something.
And I think I've done a pretty good job. The people that are close to me are they really know when to be critical of anything, and they really have no problem telling me what's good and what's bad, you know. So and we're going to go into the questions right now. I'm sorry, I'm taking, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand what's mm-hmm. going on. But just so people know, you know, when people ask, you know, who is Steve? Are you married? Are you dating? What is Steve? What does he do? Right?
That's half the questions.
So the answer is Steve helps me run my business. I will not decide anything normally, you know, regarding business if I don't talk to him about it. Correct?
That's yes. We pretty much we have our personal relationship where we'll go to dinner or whatever. That's one thing. But we also treat your work as a business, and I'm involved in that. And I help Cristela with making decisions, reading. I'll read scripts that people send her. I'll help her with her lines sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I do not say yes to a project if Steve doesn't agree that it's a good project, just because Steve has a, you know, he really knows me really well, and he's able to see things and things that I don't see. Or sometimes, you know, we agree on things. You know, what were you gonna say something?
Yeah, no, I'm.
So you know, it's this thing where it's a really good relationship in that I trust Steve for everything. You know, I really do feel that it's important to have somebody really again on this business, like in this world where you can know you can trust them, you know, and really no one knows me as good as Steve does. That's pretty much.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the thing, because it's confusing because I wear a lot of different hats with you. But the core is I pretty much know what you're going to think on something.
Yes.
I know how you're going to deal with something, and therefore I'm interested to sometimes make decisions on your behalf even.
Yes.
There's times where I get phone calls about stuff before you get them.
Yes.
And they're like, what do you think, Chris? What do you think Cristela would like this? And I'm like, no, she's not going to do that. You got to change that before you go call her. That happens sometimes. So people know they can, I can, and I have her permission to answer on her behalf on a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, he does. And actually, you know, and it's funny because this is all business related, but then there's that social issue side of me that then you don't know what's going on most
of
the time.
Yeah, I don't get as, I mean, that's, you do that because that stuff doesn't, that stuff doesn't touch on me as much. I go along with it and you tell me about it. And sometimes I get to go along. I mean, I get, you know, I get involved in it. I go with you to certain trips and meet a lot of these people, but that's a different thing. Yeah.
So, okay. So, you know, having established that, so we know now that Steve is like my ultra best friend. He's, his heart is true. He's a pal and a confidant, the Golden Girls theme song would say.
Wow.
if we threw a party and invited everyone we knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from someone else. So we used to date and now we work together. He is he helps me run my business and he does a great job at it. So he wanted to get some questions to answer from people. And here's the thing. I have not seen the questions. Steve has the questions. Whoever asked me anything, I do not know what the questions
are. She forwarded them to me without looking at them.
Yeah, so I have no idea, and I told him not to let me know. You have the right to ask anything.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Okay. So it's a lot of questions here. And now we already answered the
majority.
Half the questions are, well, are you guys dating? What's your relationship? All that kind of stuff.
I'm single and eating Pringles. Jeez.
Yes. We're both single and eating Pringles. So let's see. I'll just start here. Let's see. Let's find a good one. I love this question.
Okay.
Somebody named Blondie DD asked, do you miss Disneyland?
Oh, I do.
We love Disneyland, man. Yeah.
You guys,
we miss it. We talk about it all the time.
We do talk about it all the time. We've talked about Disneyland like it's a relative of ours during the lockdown. Like what do you think Disneyland's doing right now?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I love Disneyland. I just went for the first time when I had my show. My co-star, Andrew Leeds, who played him on the show. He was so surprised that I hadn't gone to Disneyland. He planned this whole trip, the day trip to Disneyland with me and the cast. And since that moment, I just became hooked on it. And, you know, especially, you guys know I love Star Wars. So the Star Wars land, everything, I mean, it's just right up my alley. And it was last year, maybe a year before, that we were at Disneyland and I told Steve, we should get a yearly pass.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the SoCal pass. We live in Los Angeles. It's about an hour to get there. It's an easy day trip, you know. And I felt like you were a little reluctant at getting the year pass when I pitched it.
Yeah.
Because those are the kind of ideas I like to pitch.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, you know, I mean, okay. So the first few times we went to Disneyland, it was because like she was working on different projects. And when that happens, they like give you like a, they give you like the VIP treatment where, you know, they,
the guide, the tour guide.
You get a guide and like they like, you know, because they know you're like, oh, she's in the Cars movie, so we can't just have her walking around. So they'll have a guide and like they, you know, so that's pretty fun. But I didn't know. So, but I wasn't sure what that was the only I'd only gone a couple times that way. And that was really fun. But you know what's cool is we figured out, you know, Disneyland, it's funny, as crowded as it is, this is the thing, because we have some friends who are, we have a couple friends, one in particular is a real, who's like a Disney, there's like hacks, there's like Disney hacks, there's like...
We got to give a shout out, Aaron Marsh.
So our friend Aaron, our friend Aaron is like, he's a Disney expert, and we went with him one time, and he, like, there's... If you're local, there's like, I didn't realize there's ways you can like deal with, like get in the lines quicker.
Look, you got to be a local yokel and we don't want to spill our secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but there's, there's ways if it's your big out of town trip and you don't live in the California area, it's a bigger deal. But like, if you just want to go for a random day, you can actually totally have a lot of fun in the park. If you use the app. The app is a big way because you can that's one of the big tricks is you got to get the app and reserve times for the rides. And then, so that combined with like the single rider lines, and there's little tricks.
So here's the thing, too, though, right? So our personalities are, I want Pee-wee's Playhouse all the time, and Steve wants to know how I can afford it.
Right.
You know, yes, right? I mean,
sure, yeah.
You know, so
I'm the practical one.
It completely, which is why I like having him on my side, right? So I am the person that just immediately when I have fun or I see something that I want, I just buy it. You know, and it's that thing where it's because, you know, I think a lot of times it's because of the way I grew up, right? I grew up poor, so I couldn't get a lot of the stuff I wanted as a kid. So now I just go crazy and buy everything. But I don't really go crazy. Like, I don't really, it's not like I have these, what?
We can debate crazy, but go on.
What do you think is crazy?
Nothing. No,
go ahead, say it.
Okay. I look behind me and I see a box that is a Batman Lego set that has not been put together.
Yeah, 1989.
Yeah.
Lego Batman Batmobile.
When you're putting this together, I know that's not a cheap Lego set. That was some bank, right? That's a fancy one.
Yeah.
You know? So you grew up with, I never had these things and I want everything, right?
Yeah.
The way I grew up was save your money. Did you know if you invested that money and put it in the bank after so many years, it would earn interest and then you'd have X amount of money?
Oh, dude.
So that's how I grew up, is save your money, invest it for later, for the rainy day.
Let me tell you, hold on. When we were together years ago, I went to Dallas. We went to visit his family. I used to stay with his parents. I'm not joking. I woke up, we were all having breakfast, and they start talking about investing right in front of my face. And I start thinking, get the hell out of here. The family has extra money at the end of the month where they can go invest it. Like they have extra money where they're just like, man, what do we do with this extra money? And the first thing I thought was, we didn't have electricity growing up. We couldn't pay $30.
Sure. Sure.
So yes, you're very practical.
Right. Yes.
You know, so when we were at Disneyland, I asked if he wanted a yearly pass with me, because I don't like doing this kind of thing by myself because I'm reclusive. So I need to do it with somebody that I know will be on my schedule, will want to do it, basically that I can drag to, and they won't mind. And that was Steve.
Right.
You know, and here he comes out with the charts and graphs and how much is it and da-da-da, you know.
It wasn't that much, though, actually.
It's very doable.
Yeah, no, I don't remember what it, if you go.
I think it's like 400 for the year.
Right, and if you go a certain number of times, it already pays for itself.
If you go four times, it pays
for
itself.
And we were like, we'll easily go once a month.
Yeah, you know.
So it's, you save, if you know you're going to go once a month, it's way cheaper to get the pass.
But I do, I love Disneyland. I love it. I still haven't gone on the new Star Wars ride. And now with the lockdown and everything, I don't know when I can go next because, again, I'm diabetic. I have to make sure that I don't get the COVID. So it might be a while, but man, I miss it. I miss Disneyland, California Adventure. You're in my heart, guys. Next question?
This is one I want to know the answer to. This is weird, like a curveball.
Okay.
Business 83 wants to know, if you were a car, what car would you be?
Oh.
Other than Cruz Ramirez, obviously.
I know. I mean, Google me. That's the car I would be.
I know what your favorite car is, but it's so not sexy.
It doesn't have to be sexy.
It doesn't. No, you only have to enjoy it. I'm not going to be snobby about cars. Go on.
And I will say it. That's probably, I don't know, maybe that's it. I was going to say like a camper.
Oh, okay. No, that makes sense. You know? That makes sense.
I was going to say like a camper, but also maybe a Civic.
Stella loves Honda Civics. I don't know what the deal is. She's like,
they're reliable.
They are reliable.
They're reliable. When I needed to get a new car, and I was determined to get a Civic. I wanted a Civic so bad. Like, that was my dream car, a Civic. And this is when I had the TV show on the air.
Right.
And Steve was kind of like selling me on not a Civic.
Right.
You know, and he starts naming out the mileage and da-da-da and the safety factors. And I'm just like,
it was
Civic.
Just a little small. I'm like, you could at least get an Accord or, you know, look at, you know, something bigger.
I ended up not getting a Civic.
Right.
You know, but maybe a Winnebago, an Airstream.
Yeah, she loves campers.
I do. I love campers.
Things like that. Let's ask this one because you get it all the time, and maybe you can just quickly address it.
Okay.
Carol Garza wants to know if you have any new projects coming. And there's always... there's never not new projects.
Yeah, there's never not new projects, but also there's never new projects.
There's nothing to announce right now, though. There's always...
It's like this. And
there's not a day that goes by where we're not on the phone or something and be like, hey, wouldn't it be a great idea if there was a show that was like this? And that, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about this stuff all the time.
Well, here, this is actually a good example of why you're here. So, because you're not me and you can say it in a different way or maybe explain it to mm-hmm. people, when I get these questions, like, what is your next project or blah, 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 you know, I actually notice that a lot of people always think that I'm not busy because I can't get a job or I can't, you know, that it's not my choice. So can you shed a little light on that? Because sure. I want people to understand, like, I think I've tried to describe it, but I feel like people have a hard time believing what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I think I know what you mean. I mean, for one thing, Cristela gets... She gets offers to do things, and Cristela says no a lot. She has certain standards. She won't just say yes to anything, and that's not as common in show biz. Most people will just give me anything, get me on TV, give me work, I'll do anything. But Cristela, she doesn't operate from that place. A lot of people think about money and fame. Fame is nowhere on the list of things that are important to her. Money is probably, I don't know where money is. It's not number one or two. I hope it's three. But it's always like, it's the most important thing is like, is this sound like something that, is this on brand for me? Is this something that makes sense for me? Is it something that I want to do that I find challenging, that's interesting? Is it a great story or and it doesn't have to be some big time thing. Sometimes it's little things. It's an indie. She's done indie projects. She's done big major projects, but it all goes through the same set of criteria. Like she's just really particular about what she'll say yes to. So that's first of all, as part of it, just people offer her stuff, but then she's also very thoughtful and particular about her own ideas and she's got a ton of them. Trust me. There's a million ideas. They're all great ideas. And she's always tinkering and working on them. And there's always some things that are being talked about and discussed. But today, there's nothing official that we can ever, you know, there's a process to this. And we can't just go and making announcements on anything.
And also, it's this thing where, like, I'll have an idea and I'll take years to write it. Yeah. Just because I want it to be good.
Cristela has a script that she first wrote in about 2012 that I know she's still... And I'm telling you, this thing, one day it'll come out and it'll be fantastic. I hope she's still young enough to play it.
I don't think I am.
I don't know. I mean,
I want to be a cheerleader.
I'll just say that script stars a 30-something Latina, probably 30-ish something, and you could still play that. But you're still young enough to play that. But that was 8 years ago you wrote that, and that still gets batted around at times. So there's always something. There's always things going on, and things pop up. I mean, I'll be, you know, full disclosure, just typical day. Today, two different business things have popped up in emails today, and we're discussing stuff about them, and, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens.
And they came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere, exactly.
And also, you know, another thing is that, like, Steve is really right when he talks about, like, fame and money, which I think is one of the things that hinders me at times, is that I don't have any desire to chase after it. And I have a really hard time... with people thinking that I'm a celebrity or that I'm famous, right? Because I don't think I'm that at all.
Sure.
But, you know, when it comes to work too, because I really love to be so vocal in, like, social issues, anything that I'm political, anything, you know, I will sometimes take jobs just so that I can use the money that I made in the job for social causes. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance. Next question.
Okay. Next question. Fluffy Girl 85 wants to know what my favorite food is.
Ooh, what is your favorite food?
That is hard. I love food. I eat a lot of different kinds of food. Cristela and I, we are into food. We just ate lunch right before we recorded this. It's always hard for me to say a favorite.
Well, first of all, he's vegetarian.
I'm vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian since 1986. That's a long time. I'm old.
That's a year after We Are the World.
I like how all your milestones are 80s songs. Anyway, Yeah, I've been a vegetarian pretty much my whole life. So, but my favorite, man, I love all kinds of food. My brain goes to, you know, Indian food and Mexican food. I mean, that's where my brain first goes. And when I say Indian, I mean, Indian food is great. And then when I say Mexican too, I mean, what I've learned is like real Mexican food. Like,
what's real Mexican food?
I mean, can I name restaurants?
Yeah, of course.
Like Guelaguetza here in LA, like Oaxaca, like which is from,
yes,
it's a, like
the
Oaxacan,
Lopez family.
Like,
what's
I
up,
love
Alicia?
Oaxacan food, like real, like, you know, I've learned a lot about Mexican food, obviously, from Cristela. Like, I've learned what a real enchilada is.
Right.
And that's nothing. If you're white, hey, white people out there, what you think are enchiladas are not enchiladas.
Disclaimer.
I mean, it gets called enchiladas, but real enchiladas are way more, like, when I talk about enchilada, like real enchiladas, I'm talking about literally just corn tortillas heated up, dipped in a sauce or some mole on a plate, then some raw onions, some cheese on top, and that's it. Like, it's like, it's just like a pile of tortillas, sauce, cheese, onion. Like, that's it.
You guys, Steve, the first time you went to the Rio Grande Valley to visit where I grew up, what'd you think of the food?
Oh, yeah. The RGV is like, I fell in love with the food there. We went out every meal, and God, it was like, that's such an experience down there. You go to these places, and they, you know, they all have their own little menus, and they have, and, but it all the places, it always felt like you were really, it feels very homey, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's, and there's always like, either there's already some guy there playing music, but there's always music, or the mariachis come in the middle of your meal and wander through, yeah, offer a song, you know? It's, you know, you feel like you're in like an Anthony Bourdain episode. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
It's a really rich lifestyle down there. That's, you know, you just don't, it's very unique, you know, and I fell in love with that. But yeah, I don't know, Indian and Mexican. I mean, I love sushi. I love Italian. I mean, I love.
Yeah,
it.
I think Indian
and Mexican
are really kind of big.
They're high
I mean,
up
but
there.
Also, I mean, hey, man, some Thai, some pho, like. You
well,
know
that's
what
true.
I mean?
Like, there's times where we eat so much Asian food, so much. Yeah, Thai.
I eat more Asian food than Mexican.
Pho, ramen, you know, Chinese. It's.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's a hard question.
My favorite food is the kind you chew, I guess. I don't know. You agree with me on food, right?
Yes.
Oh, palms. Palm trees are falling outside. Let's see here. Let me find another one. How far away do we live each other? And what is our favorite thing to do together?
How far do we live from each other?
For Salas wants to know.
We're
about 10 miles, 10, 11 miles.
I always say like 35 minutes or something.
It's a half hour in LA.
Yeah.
Over the hill. She lives on one, we call it the hill, the Hollywood Hills. So I live in the valley. She lives in LA. You go over the Hollywood Hills, and that's how you get back and forth between the two.
In Texas, it would maybe be like a 15 minute drive.
Yeah, it's a half hour here.
But in LA, if it's at the wrong time, it could take an hour.
It could take a couple days.
Yeah.
What's our favorite thing to do together? Well, we do eat a lot.
We do eat a lot.
And Disneyland is one of our favorite things to do, I would say. We travel a lot. I mean, I don't know.
But that's like work-related.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know.
It's our favorite. Yeah.
I think that what we do together the most is actually we eat.
Yeah, that's probably our favorite thing. Because, yeah, everything, we'll do business. We'll work on stuff. We'll write
when
jokes.
We're eating.
Everything. It always revolves around a meal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty common, I think, for a lot of people. So, all right. Let's see what else we got here. Some people had a lot of questions, like multiple.
They're curious.
There's also a lot of statements here. Someone asked how much stand-up I still do, and they like my jokes about getting old. So,
Steve doesn't.
There was. I saw a question, and I can't find it who asked it, but someone asked what my job is. And we've already kind of described that.
Yeah.
But I'll throw out also. Besides, look, my work with Cristela is what pays the bills. Okay, that's my jobby job, right? That's
yeah.
That's the business. But I also do. I act and I do stand up. I go on auditions. I audition for TV shows. You know, a couple times a month, I go to auditions. Not the same kind of stuff she does. Like, you know, I audition to be the guy who comes in and says, here's your order. Can I get you guys anything else? You know,
to me,
to her. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's everybody's at different levels here, but yeah, I auditioned for a lot of little TV shows, movies, and I do stand up. I do stand up a lot too. As much as I can around town. Sometimes I go on the road with friends of ours and stuff. We'd go and do trips around the country. I don't just do stand up with Cristela, but bulk of my work is with her. So, let's see. I don't know. Let's ask. Oh, here. Oh, wait. I like this one better. Eloquent Gal Blog wants to know, what is a silly pet peeve? She says, what is a silly pet peeve that Cristela has when we tour or travel together?
I don't know.
You must have an idea of what you think a pet peeve is. Here's the thing. So we've traveled together a lot for a lot of years, and we've gotten better at traveling together. And
wow, we kill it on the road.
Yeah, and here's one of the keys, and this relates to something we already talked about. Separate hotel rooms.
I mean, yes.
when we were, you know, in a relationship, we would stay in the same hotel room, obviously.
Gross.
And and now we always make sure we have our own room. Sometimes we share a room
if it's a big double room or something and we're only there like for a night, we can maybe do it. But for me, here's the rule. When we go on the road, everybody that travels with me gets their own room. I think it's important for everyone to have their own space. I think it makes everybody get along better. We all need our private time. So for me, it's really important. Even if usually when I travel, I try to bring the whole show with the host included, and the host gets their own room. I think it's very important. I can't think of a pet peeve because it depends on the situation, I guess.
Yeah, we've gotten better. It's just like pet peeve.
Do you have one that you can think of?
Like something that bugs me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here's, I'll reveal something about Cristela. Cristela, let's see if this gets edited
out. I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say?
Go ahead and say it.
Cristela hates, she hates to get anywhere early. if we have a flight, if our flight leaves at 11:50. Well, let's make it simple. Let's say our flight leaves at noon. I'll be like, okay, how about I'll get to your place at 10. We'll leave at 10. We'll be at the airport by 10:30. We'll get checked in, get the, you know, and then and she's like, no, 10:30. What are you talking about? I was thinking you get here at 11 and we leave at 11:15. And I'm like, for a noon flight? Are you crazy? She's like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
We have TSA pre.
We do have TSA pre, which gets you through the line quicker.
And we also have, what's it called?
Global entry.
No.
Oh, no. What's that thing called?
Clear.
But she loves, her favorite thing, she likes to walk in like park. She wants it to where you park, you walk into the airport, go through security, walk to the gate. They've just called your row. You get on the plane and immediately take off, all within a period of 30 minutes. Like, that's ideal for you. Whereas that freaks me out. I get so nervous.
Then go early.
We go together.
Find your own way.
I love to have a little extra time. I love to to be where I can breathe for a second. I'm going to get a coffee. I'm going to sit down, gather myself, make sure I got the right gate. You know, do I have the right song downloaded on my thing, on my phone, so I can listen to music? Did I get that article I want to read on the Wi-Fi or whatever? I want to just be centered.
But you know why he said, you know why he's like that, right? Because I toured the country by myself for years. And I'm so used to just doing that because it's always myself when I was doing the college gigs. So for me,
right,
I didn't want to spend time in an airport. I didn't want to sit down and relax and everything.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
I was just over it, you know? So,
well, I've come a long way on that.
You have. And honestly, in front of my four listeners, I think that I can say that I can work on it and get to the airport a little earlier.
Okay. Yes.
Four listeners, you can hold me to that.
This is real talk here, because here's my biggest fear is always, and it used to be a little scarier. Used to be if you miss that flight, there's like the bills aren't getting paid. But my fear is always missing a flight or screwing up a schedule.
And we toured like 40 cities or something.
That
in the
was
fall.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let me say, that tour, we did about 40 cities in about 60 days, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't, no, I was sort of tour manager on that, and we did not miss, we never missed a flight.
Not one.
We didn't miss a show.
Not one.
Everything went smooth.
Ta-da.
There was one night, there was a day where I forgot what happened, but you were in Oklahoma City and I ended up having to fly to Tulsa and renting a car to make the show.
I was with Murray.
Yeah. What, I can't remember.
Because American Airlines is doing all that remodeling at LAX and they didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
So the plane that we were on, you had to get a bus to go on the other thing.
That's right. You know, don't you hate that? I don't know if you guys, where you live, like our airport, LAX is crazy. Sometimes, and they don't tell you. Sometimes you get to, you go to where you think your gate is, and then that's not your gate. You got to go. There's doors. You go, and you have to get on a bus. And they, LAX has like secret terminals that are out by the runway that aren't even, you can't even walk to.
The bat caves.
A bus has to take you to these like secret terminals. And that's it can add an extra 15, 20 minutes. So if you're cutting it close, you are screwed.
So let me tell you, I cut it close as usual and I made it.
Yes. And I don't know. I can't. Anyway, let's move.
Next question. I knew that was going to be your pet peeve. I knew it. Yes. I knew it.
Someone says, I get a lot of, there's a lot of comments here telling me I'm a good man and they like my jokes.
Okay. Imaginary comments that you don't show me.
Yeah, let's see. Here's what exactly is your job. I think your friendship's amazing. Oh, here's, okay. Here's an interesting one from Eliza O'Malley. Wants to know, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I would want to be invisible.
That's so funny because I think about that too. I think invisible, but I think I would want to fly. I think flying
that
would be amazing.
That was the other one that... Yeah. That's
imagine being invisible and flying. So then you could fly naked.
But we can't do both.
I know. Yeah. But we'd be like the Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twins, activate!
You'd be invisible.
Invisibility!
Right. The ability to fly. And then you hop on my back and we fly around.
And now we look like Wonder Woman with the jet.
Exactly.
I think I like the invisibility because then I can actually listen to people talk like bad about me. And then, like, throw it to their face, like, later on. And I'm like, hey, did you say something? Like, no, girl, we love you. And I'm like,
let me tell you something.
What?
Let me give your four listeners a little advice. Sometimes when you come to a show of ours, after the show, and you go to the bathroom, sometimes, every once in a while, I end up in the bathroom. Like, the one for us is, like, broken, or I'm out in the front of the house, and I run into the bathroom real quick. And I hear what you say. I hear you guys talking about the show. Just letting you know. Better be careful. I'm joking. It's never anything bad. It's honestly, I tell you, I love when I'm in the bathroom and people don't realize they just saw me perform.
Yes.
Like, that dude was funny. He was talking about it. Anyway, I'm trying to keep it clean here. Not that my stand-up's dirty. Next question.
Yes.
Is from LO805. I like this question. This question is to me. What is my favorite thing about touring with Cristela?
Ooh, that is a good question. Yeah, tell me.
So, I'll tell you my favorite. Here's my favorite thing about touring with Cristela. It's really not to do with Cristela. I mean, obviously she's my friend, and like,
okay, that was
look,
weird.
The travel. Obviously, traveling is great. At times, it's fun. We have lots of fun. We get to eat lots of cool food and see. I love seeing the country and stuff. You know, but my favorite thing about touring with you is definitely the people. It's the audiences. It's the people that come out. The people. And I'm not just saying this because it's you, people. Listen.
There's only four of them that listen.
I'm not just saying this because it's all you out there listening. But really, you have your fans and the people that come out to your shows. And we know it's not just me because anyone that we bring along always says this. They're like, man, Cristela's audiences are so nice.
Yeah.
Every time when we go to a new club where we've never been before, every single time you guys come out to the shows and the venue, the manager or the club is like, we love your fans. They are so nice. They're so nice and they laugh and they order stuff and they tip good and they're friendly and what a, like this, are all the wait staff is so happy tonight because everybody's treating everybody so nicely. And from my perspective, you guys are all, every, you guys, it's funny because people, I've had people who think they think I'm a Latino comic.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, you know, a large percent of the audiences I perform in front of are Latino.
Right.
And I don't, you know, if you see me, I don't go up there and pander. I don't talk about anything Latino. I just do my stuff. I talk about all my neurotic nonsense about myself that I like to talk about.
And while hitting a pinata.
And they're just jokes, man. And people, and your fans, they get everything. They don't just want to hear, they're not there just to hear any particular type of humor.
They're smart.
They just want, they're educated, they're smart, they're hardworking, they're kind, they laugh. After the shows, everybody, and that's the other thing, the clubs and the venues can't believe that the whole place stays after to get in line just to say hi and take a picture or whatever. You know, I mean, the crowds, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's why you do it. So, you know, that's my favorite thing is the people. It's all of you
guys.
We
actually, and you know, it's funny because we actually talk a lot about the crowds.
Always.
I mean, we talk so much about the crowds all the time because I always say, I don't know what it is. I don't know how how it happened, but I was so lucky to end up with these awesome people that they're just so supportive, and I can't understand, like it's just, you know, I mean, look, we started out together, right? So we don't, you know, we didn't think we were going to ever get paid to do stand up.
No.
We were doing it for fun, you know? So, but every now and then, like, and by now and then, I mean, actually on a pretty regular basis, we will talk about how great the crowds are.
Mm-hmm.
The people are the ones that make it.
Yeah. That's, I'll tell you, and then there's been times where things are tough or Christelle's not feeling well or whatever. There's always something going on. But the payment and the redeeming thing is getting to be with the people, getting to be with the fans. That's the biggest form of payment over money or anything else. There's an obligation there, you know, you feel obligated. You're like, you know what? I don't feel good. I think I got a fever, but I'm going to do the show, and we do the show, you know? And what's funny is sometimes you get out there and then, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like you forget you're sick for 45 minutes or an hour. And 'cause the crowd makes you.
Kind of. I mean, I still feel crappy.
Yeah.
I do the show.
But you do the show. You do it for the people, you know?
Oh, man. I love them. Yeah. I get emotional. I'm like, I love them.
Yeah.
Well, see, and it's weird. We'll do another couple questions, but it's this thing where I was going to say, I just forgot what I was going to say because you were talking to me about the questions. Let's see. It's about the people. Man, it's going to come back to me.
I'm being sick.
We'll move. Let's see.
You still feel sick, but you do the show anyway.
You know what? I forgot. If it comes back, I'll just interrupt you.
Okay. Okay. Celadora wants to know, what do I do without Christella? LOL.
What do you do without me, Steve?
What do I do?
What do I do
without you? What would I do without you?
How I live without you? I want to know.
I'm pretty reclusive too.
Mm-hmm.
I play a lot of guitar. Okay. I played guitar since I was a kid, and I kind of stopped for a lot of years. And then I'm actually taking, I went to music school for a session, earlier this year before the quarantine. And I take like serious lessons, and I have like three guitars. I play a lot of guitar, like daily. I'm always looking online at guitars, listening to guitars, playing guitars. I love guitars. That's my biggest thing I do when Christelle's not around.
That's his big hobby.
That's my big hobby. And yeah, I play a little video games, and you know, I'm just chilling at the home a lot, because when you travel for a living, I love traveling, and so when you travel a lot, then when you're not traveling, I'm cool. I'm good just being a homebody.
Yeah.
Doing my thing. What do you do? I know what you do when I'm not around.
What do I do?
You play Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing New Horizons. I just had my concert from KK yesterday, which means I can build sidewalks. No one but five people will know what that means. And that sucks because only four listen to this podcast.
Let's see. A lot of these questions have been answered. How did we meet? How long have we known each other? Someone said if we'll ever get back together.
No.
This works.
I know.
Why mess it up?
I know.
We're not messing it up. That would be ridiculous. This question got cut off. I don't know. I think.
Okay. Well, here's a question.
Okay.
I'll ask you a question. Actually, you know, I think. First of all, you know, somebody asked.
Mm-hmm.
I did see this question because it was on my timeline. Somebody asked if I'm always this happy.
Okay.
You know, and when I read it, I laughed because I'm like, oh my God, you think I'm happy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, how would you break it down? How would you answer that question?
No. Here's your answer. No. I mean, I know, you know, you talk a lot about your struggles that you've had on this podcast.
Yes, I do.
So it's no secret, you know, that Cristela struggles with depression and anxiety.
Yes.
And
Steve's the one that sees it the most, you know, so.
Yeah, look, this is the stuff that affects relationships. And these types of things affected us. There were nights when we lived together and she would have a panic attack and we have bills to pay and there's all kinds of scary stuff going on. Those are the worst times, you know. It's hard for people. So Cristela, I can tell you, no, Cristela isn't always this happy. Everything that Cristela says is authentic. Okay, it's all real. There's nothing she doesn't mean. There's nothing that isn't like come from a real place. It's all real. It's not a facade. She's not pretending to be happy when she's not. I mean, doing a podcast here is, you know, this has to be interesting. And so there's a performative element here where you got to talk and you can't just be like, hey guys, I'm having a bad day. Like that would be, who wants to hear that? Right.
Right.
But everything she says is true and authentic. Like it all comes from real places in her. But, I'll tell you that I know that Cristela, and she's talked about it since she was able and lucky enough to come to a place where she knew she didn't feel good and reached out to get help for a lot of the things that were bothering her. She's happier than I've ever seen her. I mean,
I think I'm the happiest I've ever been.
And that makes me really happy because it's hard. It's hard when you care about somebody a lot and they're not happy and you don't know what the hell to do about it. It's scary and frustrating. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. We talk a lot about depression, but depression usually involves more than one person. So if you're someone that supports someone who's depressed, that's hard too.
That's true. It's a never ending job that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. So Cristela's doing really well, better than she's ever been.
I really hit, like, it was really bad for about a year and a half ago. I don't even remember. But yeah, no. But I think that also, even when I was depressed, even when I do get depressed, there is this feeling, and I've actually talked about it in interviews before, where I'm always like this, and it feels like for so long it was always like a switch that I just naturally turned on,
mm-hmm.
because I just wanted to talk to people because for some reason I knew that they weren't at fault
right.
for how I felt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting. It's like,
yeah.
I can sound so perky, and then, you know, there were times when I was just so depressed and sad.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? So because you know me the best, here's a question. This might be like the final question,
okay.
and then we'll just talk for a couple minutes. Why don't you leave? I'm kidding. The question is, If you wanted to tell something to someone, like if you could think of something to say on this podcast about me that you think maybe my fans don't know, what do you think it would be? Like, what would you want them to know? And by fans, you know, I just mean supporters. Like, actually, you know, I don't like that word.
Right. The first thing that comes to my mind is that it's really important that Cristela, that you know that Cristela, she only sees herself as one of you. She doesn't see herself as famous. She doesn't see herself as, she doesn't take on any, I mean, people call her all kinds of things, an activist and an actress and a comedian and a speaker and a famous person. And she was on this thing and that thing. None of that. She carries none of that with her. She sees herself as somebody who's came from a really humble, poverty-stricken background, like so many people, particularly we talk a lot about the RGV, Rio Grande Valley, mm-hmm. 956, shout out. She's just like everybody else. And all she wants to do is use everything that she gets and everything she does to shine a light on all of you so that everyone get choked up.
I'm getting emotional.
I hate this. Why are we doing this? You'll edit this out. I'm kidding.
We're both feeling things right.
We're feeling feelings.
Ask me about my feelings.
I'm trying to think how to land the plane here. She just wants you. She just wants to shine a light on everybody else. She wants to bring everybody else along with her. Bring everybody else up with her, so everyone can just be seen. I mean, that's how I always think of it. It's shining a light. It's being seen. That's number one always. That's everything flows through that.
Yeah, I think so.
That's my answer. You asked for it. You got it.
I'm going to call this episode the one where Steve makes me cry. So look, we asked, you know, we talked a lot about stuff. I hope everybody kind of gets a better sense of like the history of Steve and I. Really, at the end of the day, we have traveled so much. We have been... What I've been able to do as a career, I never thought was going to be a career. I never even knew it existed. And I have been very fortunate to be able to go on the road and visit all these cities and countries. And, you know, and because we travel so much, we really do keep a low profile when we're home, because it just takes a lot out of you to just be on the road, which is why... And again, you know, he did say at the, you know, like we did talk about at the beginning of the podcast, I am reclusive. It's just, and some of it is also, you know, due to my anxiety. I have really bad social anxiety. I keep to myself. And you said it earlier too, like when you're not traveling, you just kind of want to be at home.
Yeah. And that's why the quarantine, it's really weird. The quarantine thing happened right after we finished that tour.
Right.
We traveled all over the country crazily for 2 months.
Yeah.
So we were ready to be home for a few months and do nothing.
Yeah.
So we were kind of, I don't know, man. If it had hit at a different time, life would have been way different.
Yeah, no.
We were lucky that we finished that tour, and then we were just like, okay, we got to just stay in the house for a few months here and lock it down. So
we have, and I think, you know, look, it's June. I've probably seen you, what, four times maybe?
Yeah, four or five times.
Since
tops.
March?
Yeah.
You know, since the whole thing happened? And, you know, we were actually talking the other day, so we were looking at my calendar. I was bringing up a show. I think we have a show August 30th or something, end of August at the Irvine Improv. It was a Mother's Day show originally, and then obviously life happened, and it has been rescheduled to August 30th. So tickets are available if you want to go get them. It's improv.com, you know, Irvine. And I hope we have the show. I don't know.
We plan to be there. We'll see, barring any crazy unforeseen things.
But we did say that was probably going to be the first time that we're out in public.
Yeah.
You know, so Steve has been really quarantined. I have been really quarantined. Steve is also, I think, taking extreme measures just as I am because I'm diabetic again. Right. So, you know, it's really hard because I need to make sure that I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, so we've been pretty much on lockdown. But again, we see each other all the time. You know, we see each other the most from, I think, other people. And that's why sometimes I'll be doing something and I have that urge. And it's funny because when I ask the, hey, Steve, tell everybody what we're doing. He never knows they're going to come. I tell him that I want to do a video and then I kind of start. And he never knows what to say when he never knows what to say, which is why I think he always looks kind of like, not grumpy, but just like out of energy compared to me because he's really kind of thinking about what to say,
right?
You know, but that's why we do those videos, because we're together, because Steve is literally, I think, one of the only people I talk to.
I know.
So. What?
Nothing.
Were you going
to
say something?
I don't know. No, I had nothing to say.
Oh, okay.
I felt like I was supposed to say something, but
No. Actually, so we're going to wrap up this video. This video. Hi, it's my TV show where I don't have a TV to be shown on. So we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Like I said, it was like a limited edition podcast episode. I had a guest, Steve.
And thanks for the questions. Lots of great questions. And maybe we'll do this again sometime in the future.
Maybe. We'll see how people react to it. Yeah. Maybe they thought it was a little too much about me.
Maybe. But it was also a little about me, wasn't it?
You always have to make it about you, man. It's cultural appropriation, dude. Steve, I'm going to ask you, are there any final thoughts you want to say to the four people listening?
Yeah, my final thoughts are thanks for the questions. That was fun. That was, and I hope we cleared up some things. Maybe people, this is good. Like we'll get less, it'll be less, I think we tackled a lot of main stuff that we get from people. So this answers a lot of questions.
This is true.
It might generate more questions, but I'm glad we were able to answer some of these things. And maybe also offer some thoughts on some stuff to people. So, it's fun. I picture all the people that we meet around the country is listening to this. So,
four of them do.
Those four people are great.
Four of them.
You guys are great.
Four people.
I'm glad you're listening. Four people.
Four people. Hey, Steve, tell everybody what we're doing right now.
We're going to wrap this sucker up.
You guys, thank you for joining us. The podcast, To Be Continued with Christelle Alonso, is obviously available everywhere podcasts are available. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher, your mom's house. I don't even know, So thank you so much for joining me. I will see you next week. Till then, I will say this. It's been a rough year for so many of us. And like I said at the very beginning of the show, despite the roughness, despite the troubles, there's something good at this moment that feels like there's hope. And that's just another reminder that sometimes when things get tough and it seems like it can't get better, there's always a chance for hope. So I'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been To Be Continued with Christelle Alonso. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.